The Holy Gospel this morning is from Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We sing today for the sinners and the saints of present day and of old, for those who remain with us, and for those who prepare for the day when the veil between heaven and earth becomes as thin as air. There are people you may know who cling to that promise of resurrection with all they've got. Some wait with bated breath for the day to arrive, and quickly. Others resist their time of death until, at last, it comes, inevitably. The church celebrates All Saints' Day as a way to remember the great cloud of witnesses, past and present, who are connected through Christ in our yearning for the coming of the kingdom of God. As Lutherans, we celebrate saints, both the remarkable and the ordinary. And we do this fully recognizing that under God, there is none that lives a blameless life. So therefore, we all, at one point, will stand before the Lord as both sinner and saint. The book of Revelation is as much an imaginative portrait of the kingdom of heaven as Jesus describes, but also it's an argument against the Roman Empire. Under the Roman Empire, it was proclaimed loudly that the Roman Empire was the source of all well-being, salvation even. Caesar's image upon the coin stated that insistently. That's why the reading from today from Revelation is so striking. It's an opposition to Caesar, proclaiming louder still that salvation belongs not to Caesar, but to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. It is under the rule of God and no other that we even dare to hope and yearn and dream for the day when hunger and thirst will be no more. It is because of Jesus that when every tear falls in despair or sadness or lack or brokenness, that these tears can and will be wiped from your eyes. This portrait from Revelation in today's reading reads like a triumphant homecoming. I can't help but remember Jesus as he rode the donkey into Jerusalem on that day that we call Palm Sunday. Branches waving high in the air, welcoming a king home. But Jesus knew, he knew it wasn't his home. He knew he was riding into the lion's den to be devoured. This is not the image of the reign of God that we read about here, though, in Revelation. Today we hear about that saint and sinner approach God equally before the throne, where our Lord welcomes us as our judge and our hope. We read of people of all tribes and all nations gathered together. People wearing white flowing robes, waving branches high in the air, while singing and worshiping God with all they've got. It's a vision of the culmination of what Jesus taught and the prophets who came before him as well. Beyond a narrow view of individual salvation, John writes in Revelation the fulfillment of all the Creator's dreams into a moment of shalom. It's a culmination of that Pentecost moment when the Holy Spirit was let loose upon all the peoples of the earth, from every nation and every kingdom, to be united under one God. This vision for many is a vision of coming home. Now, home has a very different image for many of us. Some of us think about a Norman Rockwell vision of home, where the fire is lit, there's food on the table, and all are welcome. But home is not the same for everyone. For some, home can be a place that is scattered, that is difficult, or that is lonely. Home can be something we fondly remember or something we long for. We long for it to come in the next life. For many, home is something that was created with our families of origin. But for others, it is the creating of families that we choose. Some may be related, and some maybe not. Our earthly homes can in fact be complicated, chaotic, scattered, or even destructive. But our heavenly home, that's an entirely different vision. And I believe that's what John is describing here in Revelation. It's a vision of coming home to the Lord. So I want to ask you, when you imagine coming home to the Lord, what comes to mind? What images or smells or thoughts or feelings come to you?
Greatness.
Brightness. Like a bright light? Brightness. Joy.
Warmth.
Open arms. Isn't that a lovely image?
Family.
The dogs who you loved and who had died will welcome you home. I think about the smell of fresh bread. My great-grandmother lived next door to us growing up, and so I think about that coming into the house, into that warm kitchen with the smell of the fresh bread, and I think, yeah, maybe that's what it'll be like. What do you hope that God has waiting for you there when you arrive?
Revelation today says, what he's beautiful, it says, these are the words that come out of the great ordeal.
Is it? Be nice to come through this ordeal and arrive there, right? Yeah, yeah. So many of us have different hopes for what that will be like to be welcomed into the arms of God in a completely different way than we do at this very present moment. To be free, to be welcomed with open arms. And today, as we remember those who have died, and those who are hoping to meet our Lord in the next few days, weeks, years, we can trust in the promise that God is the one who does welcome us with open arms, Jeannie, just like you said. And it is in this Lord that we place our trust, like we say in our creed, who is our hope and our trust.